Okay, today is June 10th, 2009. This is Fidencio Marbella with the Melrose Park Public Library in Illinois. Also present are Heidi Beasley, a reference librarian here at Melrose Park, and Mr. John Massassi, a World War II veteran and a member of our library board. Today we will be speaking with Mr. Salvatore Sam Dugo. Sam served in the United States Army from 1942 through 1946. The highest rank he achieved was as a PFC, and this interview is being conducted for the Veterans History Project at the Library of Congress. Okay, let's go ahead and get started, Sam. Sam, why don't you tell us when and where you were born?
I was born in Chicago, 19 the year.
Yes, please.
November 16, 1920.
Okay. And then tell us a little bit about your family when you were growing up.
We all were... poor family. We didn't have much. My father was in the wholesale business of fruit and vegetables.
Okay.
He was selling. And my mother just a plain housewife and took care of six of us.
Six,
you know. We went to school, and from there, the highest we went to school was grammar school and high school. That was as far as we got.
Okay.
And after that, we went to work. That was the next thing we did.
Okay. What was your first job?
I was a construction, okay. Working construction.
Okay.
Helping guys with the pipe fitters and the building homes, carrying the lumber, all the heavy equipment, you know. So carrying that sacks of cement and stuff like that. That was the first job. And then what else did I do? The second job was then after that, I got married. And then I truck driver, driving a truck. I did that for about 20 years till I retired.
Yeah.
So I retired in 1978. I retired. And that was it from there.
Okay.
And I raised two boys, two sons I raised. And one's a doctor, and one's an engineer.
So, must be very proud.
Yeah, one's a doctor. He's in Texas. He don't do me any good when I get sick. You know. So that's about it. I don't know.
Okay.
What else?
Why don't you tell us where were you when you heard about Pearl Harbor on December 7th?
Oh, God.
Do you remember?
I think we were home at the time with my dad. Yeah, we all at the table that night.
Okay.
I think, yeah, we were all home at that time on Taylor Street. Yeah, okay. We heard about it. Yeah.
So was it a bit of a shock when you heard about it?
Yeah. My father was really gassed because, you know, we had five boys. See, and he knew that if there's a war going to break out, he knew that all of us were, we all were in the age at the time to serve, you know. See, so what happened, that's what happened.
Okay.
And then when the war did break out, my brother Tony got drafted first, and then I got drafted for second, then my other brother finally got drafted, was three of us. Then my brother Joe got drafted, was four of us. And then they wanted my brother Bobby, and they wanted to draft him too. See, but then my father wanted before the board. What do you call it? He had
the draft board?
The draft board, you know. And he told me, he said, you want to take him? You might as well take me too. He says, I got four of them in there already. How many more do you want? He says, you know. So what happened, they eliminated my brother, you know.
Okay.
They kept them out. See, that time, what was he, must have been about maybe 16, 17, 17 years old, somewhere around that age, you know.
Okay.
And that was it.
Okay.
And he was pretty mad about it. Oh, he went up before the board, you know. And he got real peeved about it. Well, you can't blame his fathers, you know. So,
yeah.
What else? That's
okay. So you were drafted then in 1942?
Oh, yeah, I was drafted. We all were drafted.
Okay.
Yeah. So none of us volunteered. We all okay. got trained.
Okay. So where were you actually inducted into the Army?
I was at Fort Leonard Wood. Okay. Oh, wait, it was in Michigan. It was in Michigan. I forgot the name of it.
Okay. So you had to go to Michigan first from
Michigan,
Chicago?
Yeah. I forgot the name of it. Michigan. And then I took my training in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. In Missouri, we took our basic training over there. See?
Did your family get a chance to see you off when you went before you went to Michigan?
Did they? Oh yeah, when they put us on and went on the train, they seen us off. My mother, father, my other brother had to see us off then. Okay. But when I went to training, we were there for many years. We were there just training, I stood there. Then from there we went, where'd I go? Oh yeah, that's when I went overseas.
Oh, you went to Hawaii?
Hawaii.
Okay.
That's where I went. My back went in love when I was out there.
Okay.
So they sent me back to the States, and they assigned me to a different officer in the Army. She was with the infantry army then. Okay. But I got healed up, everything, they healed me. I went to the hospital first, and they fixed me all up in my back and everything. Then I got back in service again, And I went from there, the POE, Port of Embarkation, up in New Jersey. So then we got on the boat there, and that's when we went straight to Germany from there.
Okay.
And when we hit France, they go to the battle. See, that's where it was, from one extreme to the other. I mean, this was a little time before, later on, see. And so it was a POE, and then we went under the boat, from the boat, then we got on the landing craft. On the landing craft we were, That's when we went at Normandy. We had Normandy Beach then. This was about 20 days after D-Day. We had seen all the bodies yet on the water yet. The ships were wrecked, when we got off the boat. All the ships laying out there. Dead cows, dead horses, on the side. There's everything, was at a standstill there when we got in. See? Then we fought off. Then we start fighting all the way in, working our way in. See?
Let's go back a little bit to your basic training. What kind of things did they teach you in Leonard Wood?
Just rifle. That's all I had, with the rifle and bazooka. I was a rifleman, and they had the bazooka man.
Okay.
They had that big bazooka you had to carry.
Okay.
See?
What was the bazooka used for?
The bazooka was for the same case you went out of a building. There's like a building, you shoot a true building. The reason why, the aim, say like when I was in service there in the Army, in Germany, there was a house. There was a house and there was a guy with a machine gun. So they called for the bazooka man. So to shoot the bazooka, it explodes, a bazooka, it explodes. So I aimed and hit and put it right into the window and knocked out this machine gun so we could get through, see? So that's what they give that kind of training.
Okay.
See, that and a rifle, man. I used to carry, they call the M1 rifle, the big rifle. See, the M1 and the bazooka. So the hardest part about that was I used to carry the M1 rifle, the bazooka, then we used to just keep on going, walking, So I used to get mad. I used to tell my captain, I said, listen, I've been carrying it for 10 miles, walking. I said, he said, I'll get a relief man. He never did give me a relief man. So what I did, I just got the bazooka. And I threw it away. I can't handle no more. I said, you told me, give me relief, I says, I'll have you court-martial, he told me. I court-martial me, And we're on the front lines, we're in the court-martial. So what happened? This captain, that he got killed the next day. He got a couple of bullets in him. You know, he got killed. So we had another captain, which we did trade off. You know, he carried the bazooka once, and I carried the switch off. So it was just too much. You know, so you got the pack, you got everything. You got your ammunition, you got your that shovel. The shovel was the best part of it. If you didn't have the shovel, you're dead. You had to dig in with that shovel every night, you know. That was our best weapon, was the shovel. You lose that, you lose your life. Hey, we used to dig in every night. We used to dig in. We didn't have no bed or sleeping mouth, you know. Hey. So that's the way it was, you know.
So you had to sleep in a hole in the ground every night.
Every night, so every night. Especially in the wintertime when it got cold, boy, it was something else. It was cold. We used to walk through that slot, then we used to put the sacks on our shoes. You know, a lot of guys used to have their frozen feet. They call it frostbitten. They call it frostbitten. Frostbitten, you know. A lot of them used to lose their toes and everything. Kind of that, you know. So we used to put the sacks and everything, especially what's cold, the most slush, you know, when that ice would go through these things. Gosh, that's when your foot soldier is for. Did a lot of that, boy. I did 7 months up there, 7 months in action. In fact, there was about, I'd say, three quarters of our apple were wiped out. We were, you know, killed or wounded. They hit us awful, you know, we got murdered up there, boy. They hit us hard. And we were, you know, then when I got hit, we were gone. I was in the foxhole when I got hit. They had us pinned down for about all day long. They just kept throwing the bombs all over us. And what happened was the plane came over and dropped a bunch of the food, you know, K-Red, our rations, you know. So my foxhole was there, and they knocked, the K-rations were about 15, 20 yards away. And the guys were going there to get, sneak it over to get the K-Red. We should get them in the cans, you know. So all of a sudden, they must have zeroed in on that one spot, because they called the Germans probably to watch. And they were there, and they were hitting that one spot. And I was closest to, you know, right next to it. Before I know it, I was on duty that it was getting dark around in the afternoon. And I was like this, because, you know, we were on guard. I had her in my, we used to have that called the buddy system in the Army. When we dug in, they called the two guys in a foxhole. See, one guy in the front and one guy in the back. See, the guard, you know, who's ever in front of you and who's ever in back of you, see? So we used to be, I was in front like that, you know, guarding, you know, and because they were hitting us some terrible that night. So all of a sudden I saw a big flash in front of me, you know, like a big, what do you call it, one of these bomb burst in front of me. When I went down like that, that's when I got hit. See, I got hit right there. I went like this, I got hit, right here, blood here, my wrist here, I got a little piece, but it must have been a little piece of shrapnel. If it was a big piece, I wouldn't have been there, you know. So when I went down like that, I got hit, and I went back like this, I laid down, blood was spurting out of my eye, my nose, my mouth, my wrist. I look at the sky, I said, I'm gone. I'll stay here for life. I never passed out. I lost a lot of blood, but I never passed out. So then the medics finally came, you know, because a lot of them were wounded. A lot of us got hurt, got wounded. And the guy, my partner, the guy that, my buddy, he was dead. He didn't know what. He had a hole in him this big. See, when I laid back, I was laying on top of him. See, and I had all his blood was on my back. And it was in the wintertime, it was in December. When we got hit. So when they went to pick me up, I was stuck to his body, you know, because all that blood, you know. So, and then my mouth started it caked up, you know, when it get frozen up from the cold. The blood. I couldn't even open my mouth with all that blood, you know. So then the medics came. They picked me up with the stretcher. We went about maybe 5 yards, and they dropped me because they still kept shelling us, you know. And bombs kept coming in. And then we go another 20 yards, and they dropped me again. And after we, you know, they tried to clear me to go to wherever they were going to take me, you know. And then we went and finally got in into this big, it was a big hut. One of these huts they put me in, you know, were way behind the lines, you know. And then I wanted to get some water. I couldn't even open my mouth to get water. I was frozen with the blood, you know. Hey, that I'll never forget that time, you know. So then from there they took me to the hospital and operated on me, on my eyes, see here. He operated on it, and I went to this hospital. I don't know what hospital was in, out there in France and Germany, someplace, wherever it was, you know. And he operated on me, and then I went to O'Reilly General Hospital. I stood there, and he kept operating, you know, on my eye for some reason. He said, we're not going to take the eye out. We'll leave it, but that's where you got to live with it, he told me. But I could never see out of the eye. See, it looks like, but I could never see out of it, see. So that's where it was. So, what are you going to do?
Yeah. So you were wounded, was it during the Battle of the Bulge?
During the Battle of, okay. We crossed the Moselle River. I don't know if it was a bulge or not. I think there was the bulge. I think it was the bulge was still going on, and they were still fighting the bulge. We were on the other side, you know. See, I think it was when we crossed the Moselle River. I don't know if this was in December the 12th is when I got hit in 42.
So it might have been right
44,
before.
44, rather. In 44 I got hit. See. Was it 44? 40? Yeah, 44. 44 is when I got wounded out there, see? In December. It was because of that was cold out there. So, I don't know if that the Battle of Bulge was going on there.
It might have been right before.
After or before, you know. See? Because all we kept, this pattern, we just kept going, moving. We never rested once in a blue moon. You know, just kept going all the time. Sometimes we were so far advanced, we had to wait for the guys just to run out of gas for the, you know, with the tanks and everything. You had to wait for them guys, you know. Yeah, things.
So how long were you on the front lines before you got wounded?
7 months. I went there in July. August, September, October, November, December. It's about 6.5 months I was up there. So 6.5 months of actions. I mean, every day. You live from minute to minute, not day to day. You know. I'll never forget the time my sergeant, he was from Wisconsin. He was a big guy. And he says, follow me, we'll get out of this war. You know. And every time when I first got into action, I just heard the bombs go over here. Zoom. You could hear them, you know. Zoom, you know. And I used to duck. So they used to tell me to say, well, you don't have to duck. As long as you hear them going over, you're in good shape. As long as they're going over. The ones that are going to get you, the ones that you don't hear. The ones in front of you. That's when they got us, you know. So he told them, we'll get out of this. So what happened that day? I was on the lines. He got wounded. He got hit that day. His leg got hurt. His leg. He got strapped. And they put him on his. And he was going back. You know, going back. And he waved to me. He says, "I'm going back." I said, "Okay." So that night I got hit. We both got hit. He got hit the day. And I got hit at nighttime. Like that, so. About 5 hours, 50. And that's the guy that told me, we'll get out of the water. So he had, when you say balls, he had balls. He said, follow what I do. And that guy was up there longer than me. This guy, he was something else, this guy. He was a brave guy, strong guy. And fear, no fear whatsoever, no. This guy, and I used to follow. just follow me. Like I say, if it wasn't for that Navy, who knows? I'd have got out without a scratch, too. You know, just that I got was in the fox. So when it happened, I figured I would get killed. I was out in the open. I used to see the bullets go by me when I got with the machine gun bullets in the house. You could see them splattered right in front of you. Just in front of you like that, you know. You see all that. I see so much of it. And then one night, when we did, you know, this night that was real, when I'm lucky I'm here today, that one night that we took this town over, we took this town, right? Now, when we take a town over, we have a patrol, what they call a Superman patrol, to guard to see that no enemy comes, you know. So that night, I went on patrol one night. One night I went on patrol and we took this town over. And then the next night, we stood there two nights. And then next night, when I stood in this place, this guy had a cognac down in his basement. You know, we took this town, that this cognac, that the stuff. So we started drinking that stuff, you know. So I felt good then. I felt like, you know. So now we had to go on patrol. So what happened, the Silver Man patrol. So I volunteered. I told him, let me go on patrol. No, he said, no, dude, you went last night. He said, whenever you had a rotate. So we used to rotate, see. He only had guard duty. So you said 2 hours on and 2 hours off, you know. And the more, a lot of times you could fall asleep, you know, on them 2 weeks, because you had to be there and patrol, you know, watch. So anyway, that night, that day, I wanted to volunteer. He says, no, you went last night. So what happened? Our 7-man patrol went out that day, right? And now we're waiting for them to come back. We figured they get so much time. It never came back. So it was daybreak. Then it was daybreak. It was getting light. So we went out. We had another patrol. We went out there. Even I was on a patrol or two. We went out there. We found, what are these guys? These guys, we found one guy there, one guy here, one guy. Six of them were dead. What they did, the Germans, they all had their necks with wire. And they're, you know, but they grabbed them, the whole six of them, you know. And there was only one guy left, and he was behind a tree like that, shaking, one of our soldiers. The only guy that was left, he was frozen, like, was shaking like that, you know. The only guy that was alive, see. So then the sergeant looked at me. He says, and you wanted to go off patrol? He says, I said, well, he said, you know, it happened to me. Well, it happened to somebody else. So he says, if I told you to go ahead, he'd see, you know, because I already went the night before. But if I wanted to go that night, I would have probably got my neck off, you know. So that's what I say, it was bad. It was bad up there. But like I said, every day, you live from minute to minute up there. Yeah, it was bad. So, what else?
So what was it like going on a night patrol? I mean, how would you see?
Oh, yeah. No, well, we just follow through the night patrol. We go a certain distance, you know, and then we come back, you know, just to see that there's no enemy there, you know. See, a lot of, then there was one night that the enemy did come, a patrol. They had their own guard. And they passed, and we were in the house that day. I'll never forget. We were in the house, you know, when we captured this town, there was a patrol that went, a German patrol now, that went by. See? Good thing they went by. So what happened? That was good. So we gave them a taste of their own mess. We opened up on them. Well, we nailed the whole seven of them. There were six or seven of them. We nailed them all. We grabbed them all. See, we hit them all from both sides. We opened up on them like there was no tomorrow. I emptied out my gun on them guys. Yeah, we got them all. Yeah, we made Swiss cheese out of each one of them guys. Yeah, I'll never forget that night. That was another night. Oh, we had a lot of close ones. You know, I think about. Like I said, we used to go from, just keep going, pushing through, just going town after town we used to go to, you know, all the time, this Patton. He was a good general. He go with you. He was up there too. He had old blood and guts, they call him. He was tough. Yeah. That's about it.
Can you tell us a little bit about the time that you spent in Hawaii?
In Hawaii, I spent 4 months out there.
Okay.
Only 4 months. I was mostly in a rehab out there.
Okay.
Trying to, you know, used to patch. See what they did when I was in Hawaii? They patched me up. They tried to keep my cheeks together, you know, so I could heal. See, and I used to stay there, but it would never heal up. It kept pus kept coming out of my back all the time, you know. So they says, well, we'll have to send you back to the States. Maybe they can help you back more out there, which it did help. They helped me out, see.
Okay.
That's what happened.
So how long were you in the States before you had to go off to Europe? About a year?
Okay. That was about, let's see, I went to the States. I went AWOL. I went AWOL that time.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I went. No, what happened? I met some girl, you know. I was single. I met some girl. And I went over to what they call over there. So what I was doing, I had passes, right? They gave me the 3-day pass. From that 3-day pass, I made photostatic. We made some copies out of it. I used to get some copies, you know. So what I used to write them out, you know. And, you know, in case we've got them days, you used to have the MPs, you used to have patrols, used to patrol the city, you know. So that one day, I had the pass, but I forgot to make out, it was expired. See, I was supposed to made out another one, which I didn't. So what happened, I'm just coming out of with my girlfriend, we're just coming out of her home. We're walking down the street, and the MP passing by, and they stopped. They saw me, and they told me, "Button up your tie, soldier." You know, I had my tie button looked like a soldier. They told me, you know. So anyway, he says, "Come on." So he says, "Let me see you. You got your pass?" So I says, "Yeah, I got." And then I says, "Oh my God!" I said, "I forgot." So I showed him my pass. He said, "Well, this is expired. You should have been in camp. You're a day late," he told me. I said, well, I was going to the railroad to catch the train to go back to camp, I told him. He said, no, come on, no, none of that. He put me in his car, and he took me straight to this, Fort Sheridan. He took me to Fort Sheridan. There I had to wait for my company to come and get me and bring me back. That's why I got this over here.
Oh.
See, they put on your discharge, see?
33 days.
It wasn't 33 days. They lied there. I don't know. I don't think it was that many days. See, maybe when I was at that, what do you call it, at Fort Churney, you know, they put it down. But I wasn't out 33. I must have been down maybe a week or 2 weeks, see? Sure. Even this girl wanted to come and see me. I was in the stockade. I think they had me in the stockade out there at Fort.
She must have really liked you.
Oh, yeah. She was like, yeah, somebody, if you know, them days were still. So, we said, okay.
Okay. So then you left the U.S. from New Jersey?
Huh?
You left the U.S. from New Jersey going to Europe?
Yeah, POE, Port of Embarkation. I was up in New Jersey.
Now, how long was your ride on the ship?
About
2 weeks? Or?
It's hard to say. See, what happened, when I was in New Jersey, see, I was in a stockade at that time. They put us in up on a ship, you know. So when I was in New Jersey, now I was on the ship, okay. Now, all the guys, we were going overseas at that time. So what happened? A boat was coming in. And I told the guy, boy, that boat's going to hit us. Oh, then the guys know what the... That boat's coming so close, another boat coming in. We were doctor, you know, ready. I said, that boat's going to hit us. I said, it's coming real close. Sure enough, it did hit the stem of our boat. Made a big hole in it like that. See? So now what happened was, we had to get off the boat now again. I said, boy, this is my luck. I said, once I get off this boat, I'm going home, man. So now what happened? Everybody's leaving, you know. Everybody's getting off the boat, and actually they're calling by their names. I said, what the hell is that? And they didn't call us. The guys that were in a stockade, they didn't call our names, you know. So what happened was, there was about 30 or 40 of us left on the only ones on the boat, you know. So what happened, the MPs come with the guns and marched us off the boat. See, we got off the boat, and they put us in a stockade, you know. And that best part of it, you know, we slept outside. We had a tent when I was in POE. We had a stockade. We slept on the floor. We didn't have no bed around, but the floor was dirt with stones on it. That's where we slept that night, you know. So the next day, the ship coming was ready. They put us back onto the ship. See, and then from there we, you know, we got a different ship, and they took off. Okay. See, okay. Oh, I want you. I said, oh, that's my luck with that. I said, these guys, forget about it. See, when I was in Hawaii at the time, I spent 4 months out there, you know, and I seen these guys coming in where they were badly out there.
From Guadalcanal?
Guadalcanal. Okay. Them guys, you know, when they were coming into the hospital where I was staying, I seen these guys, no arms, no legs, you know. One captain, he was a pilot. He was all burnt. All his body was all burnt, you know. And I used to always have the big medicine ball, you know. And I was, just my back was hurting, but I used to get the medicine ball and throw it at him to build his, you could see his body, I was all wrinkled up from the burns, you know. And I used to get the medicine ball and throw it at him. He used to catch it on his stomach to strengthen him up, you know. Back and forth, we used to go like that. When I was in Hawaii, see, the few months, because they used to ask, because if you can be able to get around, we used to do a little work out there for the other veterans too, you know. So you've got no legs, one guy no eyes, you know. And then when they fed him, and then when I got shot up, the same way, when they fed this guy that was blind, and I used to always wear a bandage on my eye, you know. And the sure one guy that was next to me, he was blind. He got shot legs, you know, the bullet went through and ruined his eyes. And when they gave him his food, they called 6 o'clock, you know, like a clock. So like 6 o'clock, like 3 o'clock would be your potatoes. 3:30 be your meat, you know, stuff like that. See, yeah, that's how they used to find out where their food was at. Mm-hmm. So like they imagine 6 o'clock, you know. Hey, oh, I have to tell you, there was something, especially in that hospital, Madawala, man. When I seen that, boy, when I was in Hawaii, seeing all these guys, that's what made me go overseas, you know. Fight for what? You only got one life, you know. But then when I was in, got shot up myself, I was in the hospital. You seen all these guys coming in. See, I was in the ward where all eye surgery and or face, you know, things like that. They used to build noses, you know. These guys just skin graft them. They used to put like this with their hand, you know, the skin graft them. And I'm talking about to give them their nose, you know, from the hand, used to skin graft them for the ear, you know, like that, giving them an ear. Yeah. See how they do that? Skin graft. Years ago they did that. See? Okay. It's part of the meat to put a new nose. That mind, you're going back. Now they got down how they do it today. Well, that's the way it was in the years. And then, when I was in O'Reilly General, when I would come back to the States, I was in O'Reilly General Hospital. That's the time they operated on me, on my eye there. And what happened? One of my lungs collapsed. See, one of my lungs collapsed, and they had me in one of these oxygen tents then. See, I didn't know that. Who knows? You know, I was knocked out. They told me they had the priest. They thought I was going to die, you know. They had the priest there and everything for a couple of days, or 2 or 3 days I was there. And the guys told me, they says, you know, I couldn't believe that I was, you know, I was knocked out. I don't know, I was in a tent. They said, yeah, we had the priest there, everybody. We thought you were a goner, you know. See, because then they both of my eyes were bandaged at the time, see. And then these guys, these soldiers, they said, I got to go to the washroom. They said, take me to, instead of the way, they said, take me in the kitchen when I was, you know, to go to the washroom. So the nurse grabbed me. He said, what are you doing in there? I said, what are you doing? I'm going to the washroom. This ain't the washroom, she told me. These soldiers would do that thing, you know. They had my eyes, you know, used to be bandaged. I don't know where I was at. I think, they used to play more jokes, I think, you know, years ago. They did more things, you know, things. It was things that they thought was funny. Wasn't funny to me, but, you know. They did more things. And there one guy that he was a drunk. I used to have that aqua velva, what do you call it? Aqua velva. Used to shave, you know. I used to use that. I used to bottle it, you know. And every time I used to keep it on my desk, you know, when I was in the, I used to use it when I get juicy, I put it on. So every time, it disappeared on me. I said, where's the aqua velva? Every time I buy it, the next day I came, there was no more. So there was a certain one guy. The certain one, he was a drunk. You know what he used to do? He used to drink that. He used to drain it. I don't know what he'd do with it. The guy was drinking the aqua velva. He was an alcoholic, this soldier. Believe me. When I tell you that, he was drinking that aqua velva. I don't know how he did it, John. That's what this guy told me. He said, Tony, that guy was taking your stuff and doing the schnapps, you know. Mm-hmm. That was a schnapps.
So there's alcohol in the
aqua velva? Yeah, there's alcohol in there. Sure, in that aqua velva. He must have drained it or something. I don't know what he, that's what they tell you. They drained that stuff. I don't know what they drained on. The what?
Orange.
With the orange, they probably mix it up with some, huh? Yeah. Did you ever have any?
No.
You ever heard of that, John? I never heard of it before. I bet something, you know, when
we had
enough
of it, it was poison. Somebody.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, you know.
Filtered out pretty
well. Yeah, that's what they must have mixed it with some. A lot of things they used to go on. There's another incident that time. In Hawaii, now, don't forget that. What else you got to do?
Well, you went from New Jersey to England?
Yeah, I went to, England, from England. Then what happened? We got on this boat, what do you call these?
A landing craft?
Landing craft, you know. And we weren't able to get, we got off, I got my water, you know. We got off and we got in, they call what the hedgerow country. They call it hedgerow? Hedgerow. We were there. It was almost, the battle was almost over. And we were like replacements for these guys. And we went in there, you know. And that's where we started to work our way all the way in. Okay. See, from there. See, that's where I saw. We see a lot of the horses and a lot of cattle that were dead, you know. That you see them from, you know, you see them staying there with their feet sticking up in the air. It's, you know, when they die.
When they get all blown up.
They all blow up like that, you know. Yeah, I see a lot of bodies. When I got off of the boat, a lot of bodies were piled up. Then there was a lot of ships that were damaged. You know, they got, you know, damaged ships out there that are blown up. Well, like I said, but then we were, first of all, we got in there all right, you know, we worked our way all the way in.
What were the hedgerows? What are hedgerows?
Hedgerows. Hedgerow. I never heard of that.
No, the hedgerows.
I never heard of
hedgerow. Right.
Oh, hedgerow.
What are those?
The hedgerow, that's the bushes, you know. The hedge scrolls is the bushes. Okay. See, there used to be bushes right along all the way down. That's what they call a hedgerow. Hedgerow okay. Comes. You know, we know what the hedgerows are like the bushes.
Mm-hmm. But there were stones.
Stones. And both
it
sides.
A fence.
Yeah, okay. Fence on, yeah.
And, they, to go it.
And then the guys used to go through it, see? Okay. And they call it a hedgerow.
Okay. And they go through
yeah.
The big roots. Yeah, they
a groove, right, right.
And this is the hydrant. And it got so thick that the tank couldn't go through.
Oh, the tank, no, the tank's going to go through. Just mostly foot soldiers and most jeeps are kept, but tanks can go through.
The primary got away.
Yeah.
And the right commenting.
And the best part, every time the tanks go come at the town, you know, and then we used to follow the tanks, you know. We used to follow them on the side, get behind them. But then when the shells start, when we see a tank, then we used to stay away from the tanks. We used to zero in on the tanks. We said, that's it. We used to get behind the tanks because these, you know, the Germans with the 88s, where they could put them in your hip pocket. That's how good they were. They were good fighters, them Germans. Well, how we beat them, I can never understand. We were just civilians, just soldier guys that went there. But these guys, soldiers, were there for, you know, they were, since they were kids, they were brought up. See? That's why I can never understand how these guys were so good at doing things, these Germans. They could outsmart you. They were... like I say, but old bug got some glory. He knew the ins and outs of it. So what else we got? Anything else?
So after you were wounded, you were shipped back to the U.S.?
Yeah, I come back. Okay. Yeah, after I got wounded, I spent O'Reilly General Hospital till they, you know, that's where I got discharged from O'Reilly. See, after I was there about a year. In the hospital, a year and a half, for operation, you know, fix me up, this and that. And then I left the hospital in September 26, 1946. Mm-hmm. I left the hospital. That's when, you know, I got released.
Okay.
I was on my own since then.
So you made your way back to Chicago?
Yeah, I went to Chicago. Yeah.
Okay. What was your homecoming like?
Homecoming?
Right.
Same, no homecoming, just my family greeted me. That was it. There was no bands or bugles or none. We just come home and that was that.
So were you the last one of your brothers to return home?
Yeah, yeah, because okay. My brother Tony come home. Mikey and Joe, they all were home. I was the last one because I was in the hospital. So they all were home, you know. Yeah, it was, my brother Nene, and my brother Mike got wounded too. We got more what they call shell shock. It was shell shock. He was in England. In fact, when I was in England that time, and he was in England too, but they had him in a ward where, what do they call it? They wouldn't give him no fork or nothing. He was so shell shocked that they were afraid that he was going to kill himself or something, you know. So they kept all kind of knives and forks away from him. See, because he was shell-shocked. And he came home shell-shocked, Mike, because he went through the battles too. But he didn't get wounded, but he got what they call too much fatigue worked on him. See, so I went and seen him when I was in England. I took a tree. He only was about 40 miles away from me. And I took that train, must have took us about 5 hours to get there. That train was so slow. Ding, ding, ding. I said, about 40 hours. That's how long is it going to take? So I'll go for another couple. I said, only, they go slow. They stop and this and that to get there. And finally, I got to see my buddy. So what happened that night, instead of getting back, they made provisions for me. You know, I slept with him there in one of his... places there. They made room for me for a bed to sleep, you know, stay there overnight. See, the next day I came back where I was at, because I was supposed to leave to come back to the States then, at that time, see. And I was supposed to come back. He said, we don't want you to miss the boat to go back. He says, you got to be back. Sure, and I said, okay. Which I did come back. See, my brother. Then my brother was home before I did, because I stood in the hospital at O'Reilly, see, Missouri. So I stood there about a year. So they went to operation, this and that, But I went. But I had a good time out there too. I enjoyed myself. Yeah, you know, in between the operations, we had a good time too.
What kind of things would you do for fun?
What could you do out there? I used to play baseball out there. We had a baseball team out there, you know. And what else we did? That's about it. We did a lot of. We used to play a lot of cards. We used to have dice games. You know what we used to do in the Army? When we were in the Army, John, we used to have we had the bed there, and we'd make a real hard. We used to get the dice to roll the dice, you know, and we'd have a bunch of guys, you know. And we used to shoot dice, you know, maybe when we get paid. Especially when we got, you know, what do you think we were getting paid them years? What were you, what was it, $40 a month, right? When we were overseas. Huh? No, when we got overseas, they gave us an extra $10. I think it was $40 when we got overseas. What was it, 30, 20, and 30? What was it? $20 a day. Yeah. And then when we got overseas, they gave us an extra $10, I think. And then we used to shoot dice on that day. We got paid. Then we had to wait another month. we enjoyed it. We had some good times too, you know, after we got released.
Is that where you started to smoke?
Yeah.
You free smokes, right?
Well,
you got free smokes?
Oh, yeah, they used to give us them. They used to give us three of them in a pack. So remember them samples they used to give you?
They used to give us a card.
No, we never got a card. He used to give us samples of cigarettes. There was three or six or whatever.
Chesterfield?
Yeah, all kinds. Chesterfield, whoever they were, you know. They used to give us three of them. They had the PX over there. He used to get cigarettes at the time. What were you, a dime a pack or 15 cents a pack at that time, yeah. I never smoked that much when I was in service. I didn't smoke that much. Did you smoke much, John?
I gave it away.
Me too. I gave it up. I didn't smoke much. In fact, I never sat and smoked since I left the Army. I never agreed. They call me an OP smoker. You know what OP is? Other people's cigarettes. I used to borrow. I used to call me OP. Yeah, you're. Yeah. I used to borrow. Yeah, I never bought cigarettes. I didn't care for them that much, you know. I said, remember when I used to drink as well, I used to like to smoke. When I said, you know, the time I. So what else we got in there?
So after you were discharged from the Army, were you able to return to work right away?
Before I couldn't get a job then at the, you know. See, what happened when I had a nice shot out. Right. See, what I wanted to do would be get on the force for the police, being a detective, you know. But I couldn't get on a kind of. I couldn't pass the physical in my eye. So you had a good eyesight, so I couldn't get that. Then I went to work for the city on what they call the Bureau of Electricity. See, there we used to put the stop signs, electrical stop signs, you know, put the cables in and everything. So I went to work there. Then I quit that job. I quit it for I don't know why. Oh, it's crazy to do so. I quit it. Then I went to work. A guy offered me to drive in a truck on the saltwater market and the produce. That's when I went to work there. See, I worked there for about 20 years. Then they went out of business. Then I worked for another trucking company for another 10 years, and I retired from them. So about 30 years I worked all over there.
Okay. And there. Did you have any problems readjusting to civilian life? after being in the army?
No. The only thing New Year's. They used to throw the bombs, you know, they used to shoot, you know. That's when I used to, the first year kind of worked on me a little bit, you know. But then after that, it disappears on you, you know. Everything disappeared. I didn't get bitter or nothing, you know. I got bitter because, you know, the way I got hurt, you know, I got shot up in the foxhole, you know. And what hurted me was I couldn't get the job I needed, a kind of my sight, see. See, if I had good eyesight, I could have had a job with the city. Could have got good benefits and everything. But I had to do it the hard way. So what are you gonna do? So you do what you can.
Yeah. And it still worked out for you.
Yeah, I did all right. I ain't got no complaints. Okay. But the Army gave me disability. They gave me for my eye. They gave me a pension for that, you know. They give me a percent. I get 60% they give me every month. But they do give you 60% when you get banged up, you know. So it helps out, you know. These years, if it wasn't for that, it helps me get along in life. The money I get from that, you know.
Okay. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with us?
I'm glad I'm here. That's all they
hear. Your children and grandchildren.
Oh yeah, I got
How many children? And grandchildren?
Oh, I got 7 grandkids. I got 7 grandkids, and they keep me pretty busy, you know. One just graduated high school, and my other one's graduating the grammar school, older one graduating. And the other guy's going to college, and the other one's entering high school, Elisa. That's my little baby doll. She's beautiful. Nice girl, yeah. And it's my heart. I give her. Yeah. Yeah, she can't wait till, she graduates at the 19th of this month. The other guy graduated, Saturday. No, they had their commencement where I told you, John. At SIRS, they had it. Remember I called, I couldn't make it? Yeah, at SIRS, I had to go there for his graduation. It was nice over there. I have all the people, about 1,000 of them graduates, the kids, like, over 1,000. I got there at 10:30 in the morning. We didn't get out of there until about 3:00 in the afternoon.
It was in Schaumburg.
Yeah, in Schaumburg. Yeah, the people that graduate. I got all these kids. Where are they gonna get jobs? These kids, you know, if they want to go to work, you know. I said, my God, you have all that. Their nice gowns, my son, PJ, he graduated. He's going to go to Arizona and computers. He likes that computer work. He's pretty good on this stuff there, you know. He knows how to fix them when they go on a blink and everything. He does, he's only, PJ's, 17, graduated high school. He's probably about 17 now. Around that age, you know, 17, 18. Yeah. So he's going to Arizona he applied for it, you know. So I hope he does good in that field. My other son, Ronnie, he's an engineer in Naperville, and the other guy's a doctor, Michael. He's in Texas. He's a doctor, that's about it.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much for sharing your memories with us today.
Yeah.
Thank you.